Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to reread quickly from the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis, a couple of lines in the bottom with the words, two lines in the bottom, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Godol Talmid Torah Yoser Mikibud Ovo'em. We said yesterday, we'll read it again now, that the learning of Torah is even more important than the mitzvah of Kibud Ovo'em. I.e., if a person sometimes has to choose between doing the mitzvah kibud avim and learning Torah, so if somebody else can take care of the needs of the parents, so then you let somebody else take care of the needs of the parent, assuming it can be done just as well, and you go and learn Torah. That's the halacha l'maisa. Doesn't mean that a person who's learning never should take care of his parents, but if the mother or father needs a glass of water, and the person's in Beis Medrash all day, if he can arrange for somebody else to bring them the glass of water, so then he's allowed to stay in the Beis Medrash and learn, and somebody else will take care of the basic needs. Again, it doesn't absolve a person totally, albeit from this story, from Yaakov Avinu, we do see that Talmud Torah is so important that it can be even docha the mitzvah of Kibud Avim, which is extremely important, of course. And where do we see this from? So the Gemara tells us, Rabba Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta tells us, she called Osun Shonim, Shoy Yaakov Avinu Beis Aver, when Yaakov was learning for the 14 years in the Yeshiva Shem Aver, Lo Nana, she wasn't punished for not doing the mitzvah Kibbutz Avayim, but the other 22 years, and we'll calculate out today where we get that 22 years from, and how do we know it was 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Aver? So for all of those 22 years when he wasn't learning the Yeshiva Shem Aver, he was held accountable, and for every year that he was away from his parents, Yosef HaTzadik was taken away from him. The Amar Mar, because we learn the following statement, and now we turn to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Lomo Nimnu Shnosov Shal Yishmol. The Torah tells us how old Yishmol was when he died. He was 137 years old. Why are we interested in that? The Torah is not a history book. It doesn't tell us facts that you memorize for a test and that are unimportant. No, every detail in the Torah has importance to it. So the reason the Gemara tells us that we had to know that Yishmol died at 137 is Kedei L'Yachais Ben Shnosov Shal Yaakov. This way we would know how to figure out different points in Yaakov's life and to know the 14 years that he learned in Yeshiva Sheva Ever. They'll say, because the Pasuk tells us, the Elish Nechaye Yishmael, these are the years of Yishmael's life, he lived to be Ma'as Shana, 100 years, Ushlosh Shana, 30 years, Ushava Shana, 7 years, 137 years old. That's how long Yishmael lived, then he died. Now, Kama Koshish Yishmael Miyitzuk. How much older was Yishmael than Yitzuk? So we have Psukim to tell us that he was Arbe Sarshtin. He was 14 years older than Yitzuk, because it clearly says that Yitzuk was born when Avram was 100, and the Psukim clearly tell us that Yishmael was born when Avram was 86. So again, 86 to 100, that's 14 years. So therefore, the Chsev Avram, then Shmonim, Shonav, Shay, Shonim, Eleh, Sigur, Yishmael, Yavram, tells us that Avram was 86 years old when Hog gave birth to Yishmael. And it also tells us the Chsev Yavram, then Yashin, he was 100 years old, Pivav, Eloes, Yitzchak, we know when Yitzchak was born. So again, at the time that Yishmael was 14, Yitzchak was born. Okay. Now, Uksiv, it tells us further, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana v'Leves Osam. Yitzchak was 60 years old. He married Rivka when he was 40, right after the 3 years after the Akedas Yitzchak. So he went away to learn for 3 years. Then Avram died. Yitzchak was 40. He married Rivka. They couldn't have children for 20 years. And then he's finally able to have both Yaakov and Esav when he is 60 years old. Okay, now at the time that Yitzchak is 60, Yishmael's going to be 14 years old, and Yishmael's 74. Now, Bar Kama Havi Yishmael, Kidisal and Yaakov, Bar Shivim Yarbot. Again, simple math, he's 74 years old, if he's 14 years old than Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is now 60. Now, Kama Paisha Mishtei. How long did Yishmael live? Yishmael lived to be 137. So you subtract 74 from 137, you get 63. Shisin Utlas. Kama Paisha Mishtei. How many years are left in his life? Shisin Utlas. 63 years. Okay? So in other words, when Yishmael died, Yaakov is going to be 63 years old because he's born when Yishmael is 74. He lives another 63 years. So at the time of Yishmael's death, Yaakov Avinu, again, they're not very difficult man, is going to be 63 years old. Now, Tanya, we learned in the following brayso, Haya Yaakov Avinu b'shoshin is borech me'aviv ben shishim v'shaloshana. That year that Yishmael died was also the year that that Yaakov got the bracha from Yitzchak his father and ran away to Aram Naharaim. So Haya Yaakov Avinu b'shoshin is borech me'aviv ben shishim v'shaloshana. He was 63 years old at the time. Ubaba perek meis Yishmael. At that time Yishmael died. Dasev vayar Esav ki berach v'gomer. Esav saw that Yitzchak had given the bracha to Yaakov, and therefore he was very, very upset, and he was going to kill Yaakov, and Yaakov had to run away. Rivka tells him, Yaakov, you better run away. It's not safe here. Esau's going to kill you. And it says at that time, which we know was the time that the bracha was given, when Yitzchak gave the bracha, Yaakov was 63 years old, and then it says at that time, Esau, see, he sees that Yaakov is going to get married to somebody not from the Canaanim. So Esau says, I'll also impress my father, and I'll get married to somebody not from the Canaanim. Vayikach es mochalas bas Yishmol, who was Achos Nivayos. Again, I'm missing some words in the pasuk. He was Achos Nivayos. Now, why would it tell us that he married Machlas bas Yishmol, and telling us he's also Achos Nivayos? We know that. Mimashma shenema bas Yishmol. Once I know that it's Yishmol's daughter that Esau went to marry, and you're there, she Achos Nivayos, it's unnecessary to tell me that she is the brother of Nivayos. We know that Yishmol had a son, Nevayos. If you're now telling me that he married the daughter of Yishmol, so obviously the brother and sister. Why would, again, the Torah tell us me an unnecessary detail? No. So the Chiddush is, Malamed is coming to teach us this pasuk, Shekisha Yishmol, that Yishmol was Makadisha, so to say, the first stage of marriage. He arranged that his daughter, Mochlas, would go and marry Esav, and then he died after he was Makadisha, his daughter to Esau, and then Umeis, and he died, the Hisia Nevayos Achia, and the actual one that brought her down the wedding aisle, that was her older brother, Nevayos. Okay, so that's why we needed to know that fact. So this is Yitzhak in his life, and gives the bracha when Yaakov is 63 years old. Okay, so now we know that. So Shisin Utlas, he's 63 years old, the Arbeisa Admisel Yosef. Now, we know that he went to Aram Naharaim. Now, there's 14 years here that we don't yet know about. We'll come back to them. So right now, we think that Yitzhak is giving the bracha to Yaakov when he's 63. Yaakov runs away to Aram Naharaim, and he goes to the well, the famous story with him helping Rachel go get the water from the well, and then he stays by Laban's house. He works 7 years for Rachel. He's given Leah. He works another 7 years because he marries Rachel a week later. He works 14 years in Laban's house, and Yosef is born at the end of that 14-year period. So therefore, we add on another 14 years. Hashivin v'sheva. So he goes from 63, 14 is 77. Again, not high math. Now, uksiv says at that time, the Yosef ben Shloshim Shana Ba'amdo Livnei Paro. Yosef is born 14 years after Yaakov comes to Aram Naharaim. So therefore, again, Yaakov is 77. We know that Yosef becomes the viceroy at the end of 30 years of his life. That's what it says. Uksiv Yosef ben Shloshim Shana. He interprets the dream for Paro. Paro says, oh, there's nobody else like Yosef. Let's make him the Sheni Lamelech. So Ba'amdo Livnei Paro. So there's 30 years. So again, 30 years passed by Yosef's life. They also passed by Yaakov's life. So you add 30 years to Shivin the Shiva. So it goes from 77 to 107. So therefore, Ha Meya Ushva. Now, he doesn't go right down to meet Yosef in Mitzrayim when Yosef becomes the viceroy. So what happens? First, you have the prophecy coming through for the Shev Deshova. You have the 7 years of plenty. So we add on to 107. Now we're up to 114. The Tarte de Kafna. And you add on 2 years where there was famine before Yaakov Avinu comes down. So from 114, you add on 2 years. It's 116. So ha, Meya Vishisa. So we've calculated 116 years of Yaakov's life. So he goes down now to Mitzrayim. He should be 116 years old, but that's not what the pasuk says. Uksiv, Vayomer Paro Yaakov, when Paro meets up with Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha, how old are you that you look so old? Also, the Medrash says that he looked like Avram Avinu. So Paro must have lived a long time himself that he knew Avram Avinu, and he said, wow, you look just like Avram Avinu. So he said, how old are you? So Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov responds to him, Vayomer Yaakov El Paro, Yimei Shnei Megurai, the years that I've lived on this world, Shloshim Uma'as Shana, it's 130. But wait a second, may I have a shisser, have you? We just calculated that, it's 116. How can he say it's 130? There's 14 missing years. Oh, Elosh Mamina Arba'i Esrei Shnin Dahava Beveis Eiver. That's the 14 years he went to learn Yeshiva Shema Eiver. That's the extra 14 years, and we'll see in a moment. We know he wasn't punished with lack of Kibbutz for those 14 years because he was away from Yosef for 22 years, and we calculated out those 22 years, which we'll see again in a second. And now, Rashi says, we're not going to the words Lo Chashiv Lahu. That actually comes a little bit later on, but that's fine. It doesn't change anything around over here. So these are the extra 14 years. Yaakov is 130 years old, not 116, when he meets up with Paro and tells him, I'm 130 years old. So there's 14 years that we have to figure out where they are. And we have a brisa that supports this calculation that he was in Shem Be'aver. The Tanya, Ha Yaakov Be'aves Eiver Mutman. Yaakov was hidden away in Yeshiva Shem Be'aver B'shul Arba Esrei Shana for 14 years. Now, when were those 14 years. They were before he went to Aram Naraim, obviously, because we calculate out all the years in Aram Naraim. So therefore, now some aren't goes towards Abram Mace, the Achar Shiorad Yaakov Avinu, the Aram Naraim Shnei Shonim, they put it a little bit later, but the idea is all the same, so we'll just leave the gears that we have. And so we see that he was there for 14 years. After he left, Abram dies 2 years later. Fine. Yotza Misham Ubalu Aram Naraim. And after he left Yeshiva Shem Abram, that's only when he goes to the well, meets up with Rivka, and the whole story in Aram Naraim starts. Nimsa, turns out, Kish Omer Al HaBe'er, when Yaakov was at the Be'er, he wasn't 63 like we originally had said. No, it was 63 plus 14 years of Shem Be'er, so he's been Shivim V'Sheva Shana, so he's 77 years old, and that's when you start the 14 years, and then the additional years that he was in Aram Naraim, until he comes back home to his family and meets up with Esav, and we have that Mice. Okay, now, so now, okay, we've proven that he was 14 years in Shem Ve'Eva, but how do we know he wasn't punished for not doing Kibbutz Eid those 14 years? The Tanya, because the Brisa tells us, Nimsa Yosef Sheperish Me Aviv, Esim Shtayim Shana, the whole time that Yosef was not with his father was a total of 22 years, because Yosef was 17 years old when the Maisa with the Ksonis Pasim, and he was sold by his brothers into servitude. So he was 17. He becomes the viceroy at the age of 30. So that's, again, 13-year period of time where he has the whole Maisa with Potipharah and in the jail, the Beis HaSoar. So that's 13 years. Again, you add on the 7 years of the Sova. That's making it up to 20, and the 2 years of the famine. So it's 22 years before Yaakov Avinu comes down. So it's 22 years that he was away. And Kishem Shapirish Yaakov Avinu May Ovid, just like Yaakov had separated himself from his father, Kishem Shapirish Yaakov Avinu May Ovid, from Yitzchak, so too, he was 22 years lost from Yosef. Oh, now, the Gemara says, wait a second, but it's 36 years. It's not 22, it's 22 plus 14, 36. The Yaakov Tosim Shisabian. There were 36 years total that Yaakov was separated from his father, not 22. So how come he wasn't punished with 36 years away from Yosef? Ella, mustn't it be that the Arbeis, the Habibes Eber, the 14 years he was learning, Shivashem Eber, don't count in this calculation. Here's where we have the words, Lo Choshev Lo, and therefore, he's only punished Mida Keneged Mida. You caused your father distress for 22 years. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused you to be in distress from the not being with Yosef for 22 years. Moses says, no, so, the base Lavan, Esrin, Shnin, Havion, how did you get 22 years? He was only 20 years by Lavan. If you do the calculations, it was 14 years that he worked first 7 years for Rachel, and then when he was fooled, so he said, I'll work another 7 years for Rachel, that's 14 years, and then he's ready to leave, and Lavan says, no, please stay, and he stays for 6 years. That's the Feirish of the Sukkim and the Chumash. So he's only there for 20 years. What do you get, 22? So he says, no. Elo mishum de'ishtai ba'urcha tartin shtin. He delayed coming back after he left Lavan, and they make their pact. He then comes back, but he doesn't come directly back. He has a 2-year delay in getting back from Aram Naraim to visit his father, the Tanya. Because we learned in the Brisa, Yotzom Aram Naraim, Yaakov Avinu, where the entire family leaves Aram Naraim, and he doesn't come right back. Ubalo leSukkos. He goes first to the place called Sukkos, the Asasom Shmona Asachodesh, and he stays there for 18 months. Hey, Darsh and Rashi, Darsh, is that how you get this number? And it's based upon this pasuk. Shnei Mav Yaakov Nosa Sukkosa. He went to Sukkosa, so that was 6 months. But even Lo Bayis, and he had a house over there. Ul Mikneyu Osa Sukkos, and then he had Sukkos again. So he was in Sukkos for a 6 month period of time, and the house for a 6 month period of time, and the Sukkos for a 6 month period of time. It adds up to 18 months. Ul Beis El, he then went to Beis El, and also Shisha Chardoshim V'Hikriv Zvachim. And then before he came back, he stayed another 6 months in Beis El, and therefore, that's the total of 24 months. He had that 2 years, 24 months, onto the 20 years is away. Oh, we have our 22 years, and Mida Keneged Mida, he separated from Yaakov, from Yitzhak, for 22 years. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Yosef from Yaakov for 22 years. With this, we conclude the first beautiful parak in Megillah. And these last couple of dafim have been such a wonderful, beautiful discussion of the Megillah. We went through it in some detail through the Gemara a couple of days. And therefore, I recommend people, if you remember this, the shiurim are available on tape right before the week before Purim to go over the four shiurim that we had over here on the Megillah. It's a wonderful way to prepare for the laying of the Megillah this year, b'mehirah b'yomeinu, should be in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh. Hadron Alecha Megillah Nikris, Hadron Alecha Megillah Nikris, Hadron Alecha Megillah Nikris. And now we begin the beautiful second parak of Megillah. And we begin. We'll begin starting to learn some of the halachos of Megillah itself, the Megillah reading itself. HaKori Es HaMegillah Lima Freya. If a person reads the Megillah out of order, he reads it Pasuk Gimel before he reads Pasuk Beis. He reads it out of order. You don't fulfill your obligation of reading the Megillah. Megillah, as we've already pointed out many times, is a early midrabbanim, in a sofrim, very high level midrabbanim type of obligation. You're not going to be yotzi the obligation to read the Megillah if you read it out of the order, lemafreya, backwards. Kara al-peh, if you read it by heart, you don't read it from a sefer, from a cloth, from a real Megillah, you're also not yotzi. Or Kara Targum b'chol lashon, if you read it in Targum, which is Aramaic, or it should be a vav over here, or b'chol lashon, or in any other language. Now, if it tells you you can't read it in any other language, why does it have to tell it specifically Targum? So you might have thought, if it just said b'chol lashon, it doesn't include Targum, because you might have thought Targum is such a high-level language that maybe b'chol lashon means everything but Targum. That's why it specifically tells us Targum. And if it told us Targum, you may have thought that maybe Targum, you can't read it, but somehow all the other languages you could read it, that's why I would have only mentioned Targum, so that's why it tells us Targum uvechol lashon. Okay, lo yotzi. You're not yotzi that way as well, the obligation to read the Megillah. But, here's an interesting din, which I don't think I've ever heard anybody actually doing, avo korin osa leloazos belaz. You can read the Megillah in French. You write a Megillah in the French language, and if you understand French, then you would be yotze reading the Megillah in the French language. Some say that it has to be in the script of Ashuris, so it'd have to be like a transliterated Hebrew into French. But as long as you understand the French language, so then you could be yotze. If you don't understand the French language, you can't be yotze. But a person who understands that language could read the Megillah in French, possibly again in transliterated French. It would be in the Hebrew script, but it would be transliterated into French. You could be yotze. Now, again, big machlokas amongst the poskim. Again, this never is halach l'maisa. I've never heard anybody reading it in a foreign language to try to be yotze, because it has to be written on a cloth, and it has to be written with D.O., with the proper ink. So nobody's going to do that. But, in fact, one could technically be yotze. And the only question is, would this be good for somebody that also knows Hebrew or not? If you know Hebrew, maybe this doesn't work. That's according to some poskim. And others say no, even if you know Hebrew, but as long as you know French or whatever language it's in, and it's written properly, then you could be yotze with such a Megillah. Likewise, however, v'aloes, if you only speak French but you don't speak Hebrew, sheshama ashuris, and you hear it in Hebrew, then you yotze anyway, which is the halacha l'maisa, what people should do. Even if you don't understand the word of the Hebrew, a person's a baal tshuva, and he speaks a fluent French, he speaks a fluent Aramaic, he speaks a fluent Chinese, and he doesn't speak a word of Hebrew, but nevertheless he should listen to it in Hebrew and follow along as best as he can, and that's the proper ideal way to be yotze the Megillah. If you don't understand Hebrew, it's still preferable to hear it in Hebrew. Same thing by davening. Even if you don't understand the word of the davening, it is usually preferable to daven in Hebrew and not to daven in English, with very, very, very rare exceptions. Again, a person should try to go and do the davening as best as possible. For things that aren't davening, let's say for selling the chametz and making the statement that all my chametz is batel, then you can't do that in Hebrew if you don't understand it. Then that has to be understood. That's something that you're making a statement, so it has to be something that you understand. You can read it in Hebrew and then read the English for something like that. Then he tells us the Mishnah, Kiruah Seirugin Umisnam name, still Yotzah. If a person were to read it in parts, Seirugin is like parts. So if a person reads the first parak, then he takes a break, then he reads the second parak, takes a break, you yotze. Likewise, umisnamne. If a person reads it, this vav is an or. If a person reads it either not all at the same time, he reads a parak at a time over a 2-3 hour period of time, or he dremels in the middle of it, but he didn't fall asleep totally. He takes a little dremel. In other words, he's half asleep. The Gemara will describe this. You know, he can respond, but he doesn't fully respond. So then yotze, you are yotze, as long as he knows that he heard every word. Even though he didn't really concentrate as fully as he should have, he was half asleep, and he's yotze still. What happens if a person's a sofer and he writes a Megillah, Hoya Kosva, or he's darshing the Megillah, he was learning these prokem, and he learned them straight from a real kosher Megillah, or Magia, or a person checking a Megillah to make sure that the Megillah is kosher. In all of these situations, it depends. Im kivin libo, if he had intention that I'm here doing the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, or at least he had the intention, according to some, that he was reading it, so then Yotze, then he would fulfill his obligation. However, V'im Lav, if he was, let's say, just going over the Megillah, but he wasn't intending to say it, he just wrote the Megillah, he didn't say the words with no intention of saying the words, or he was darshing the Megillah, but he had no intention that he was really saying the Megillah, so then Lo Yotze, then he wouldn't be Yotze. And the full understanding of this is totally on, do we say mitzvah tzrichas kavan or not? Maybe the mitzvah megillah is separate because it's such a high mitzvah from the sofrim, so maybe here you do need kavan, even though in general mitzvah is lav tzrichas kavan. Others say you just have to have intention to have read it, lav davka to do the mitzvah. In any event, if you didn't have intention to at least read it, then you're not yotze, that's for sure. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah, ha'isa k'suva b'sam, Besikra, over Kumas, over Kankantom. These are various types of inks that are not kosher. The Gemara will explain exactly what these types of inks are, but they're not kosher for a Megillah. Or if you write it on a parchment that's not considered a proper parchment, a piece of paper, you write it on papyrus, you write it on a piece of paper, or the Aladiftera. We'll see the different parts of the animal's hide that are acceptable, that are considered acceptable to be cloth, and other parts that are not acceptable to be cloth. And the Gemara will discuss this as well, which part of the hide, the inner aspect, the outer aspect, the part that's closer to the inside organs, or the part that's closer to the outer hair, you can cut that hide, so to say, in half, and you have an inner aspect of it, an outer aspect of it, all different aspects of the hide that could be considered cloth. So diphthera is not considered cloth, and therefore lo yotza. So if you wrote it with any of these non-allowable inks, or this non-allowable cloth, or some other type of a piece of paper, so then you wouldn't be able to say, that's not a kosher Megillah. What does a kosher Megillah entail? Achite ksuva ashuris, has to be written with ksav ashuris, as we pointed out, even according to some, if it's written in a foreign language, it still has to be the Hebrew script. That's ksav ashuris, what we would say is the Hebrew script inside, say, for Torah, or Tefillin, or Mezuzahs, or a Megillah. And it has to be ala sefer, it has to be on parchment. We'll see, define the word sefer when we get to the Gemara. Obadiah, it has to be a certain type of black ink as well, which we'll define when we get what it is when we get to that part of the Gemara. The Gemara starts and says, Minani Mili. How do we know all these things that we just said in the Mishnah, that you can't read the Megillah out of order? You can't read Perek Beis before you read Perek Aleph. So where do we know that? So Amar Rava, Rava tells us the Amar Kor, because the Pasuk says in the Megillah that the Megillah has to be kichsavam uvichizmanam. It has to be written and in the time. Now, what does that mean? Mazmanam l'mafreya lo, just like you can't have the Megillah read at the wrong time. The people can't read it on the 15th. They can't read it on the 14th and be yotze. And in general, you can't read the Megillah on the 14th on an earlier day. It has to be in the right order, in the right time sequence. So too, by the juxtaposition over here, kisavim uchizmanim, it teaches the same thing, av kisavim mafreya lo. So it can't also be read out of its right sequence, out of the right order as well. Mor says, wait a second, that's not what the pasuk says, that you just brought down kisavim uchizmanim. Go scroll up earlier to that part of the beginning of the pasuk where it says, kino v'kibu la'yudim aleihem, yazarav, yakol ha'nevim aleihem, v'lo yavar, l'yos osim. Osim is the act of doing the mitzvos of Purim, the Sudas Purim, the Simchas Purim. So the pasuk says, "Mide kriyok sivahacha." Is it talking about the reading of the Megillah? No, Asiya. It says Lios Osim, which refers to the Simchas Purim, the Sudas Purim. Dechsev Lios Osim eshnei hayomim eile kichsavam v'chizmanam v'chol shana v'shana. So all I can learn out from this is that, yes, the celebration of Purim, the celebration, has to be in the right order, on the right day. But who says anything about the reading? Maybe I can read Perek Gimel before I read Perek Beis. Or says, no, that original was right. Elamihocha, it's a different pasuk. It says, Tichsiv, V'hayomim ha'ele niskorim. Niskorim means that they're remembered, i.e. by reading the Megillah, the Nasim, and by doing the mitzvah, Sesudas Purim. So therefore, Iskish Zechira Lasiya, here this pasuk does juxtapose, it has a hekish between Zechira, which is reading the Megillah, and Nasim, and doing the mitzvahs of the day. So Ma'asiya L'mafreya Lo, Af Zechira L'mafreya Lo. And just like the Asiya we have from the previous pasuk, has to be in the right order. You can't do the days out of order. So therefore, so too, the actual reading the Megillah, when you're reading the Megillah, you can't read Perek Gimel before you read Perek Beis. That's how we learn it out. You need both sets of psukim. The second one is to teach us that there is a hekish between Niskarim and Nasim. And the first pasuk is to tell us that the din by Niskarim is the same as by Nasim, Kich Savam, V'chizmanam. Okay. Tanur learned the brayso, the same halacha that you're not allowed to read it out of order. You can't read the second paragraph before the first paragraph, or within the same paragraph, you can't read pasuk Gimel before pasuk Beis. The same halacha applies, V'chem B'Halel, V'chem B'Kriyas Shema, U'B'Tfilah. Now, here, it's not so clear that it applies to the whole paragraph. One could be, I would say, the Kriyashma, for example, by reading V'Hoya before you read V'Ahavta. So here we're talking about within the same paragraph, you have to go and read all the psukim in the right order. But it's possible that if you read the paragraphs out of order, that you would be yotze still. In any event, the Braisa says, for these three, dinim, halel, kriyashua, and tefillah, tefillah always means shmona esrei, tzeluse always means shmona esrei, tefillah, shmona esrei, they have to be read also in the right order. The brachas of shmona esrei, you can't go read v'lamal shenim before you read atachonim. Fine. So how do we know each of these? So the Gemara says, halel minolon. How do we know that you have to read the halel in the right order? You can't read kapitel kuf tesva before you read kapitel kuf yud dalet, right? The halel is from kuf yud gimel until and inclusive kuf yud ches. So those have to be read in the order as they are in Tehillim in order to fulfill the obligation to say halel. How do we know that? Rabba Amar, well, four reasons over here. The first one is for Rabba. Rabba tells us, they'll sit, Mizrach Shemesh Abavo, in the halel, it says, that as the sun goes from rising in the east to setting in the west. So therefore, it teaches us that just like that doesn't change around, as Rashi brings down. So it says, Kishem Shishkias Uzricha Sachama Lo Yehovchu, just like the sun always rises in the east and always sets in the west, so Kach Me Mahulo Shem Hashem V'lo L'mafreya. So this is the way you have to praise Hashem. That's the end of the pasuk. This is the way you praise Hashem, always in the same order. That's Rabba's reasoning. Rav Yosef Amari says, when the other pasuk, he says, Zayom Maso Hashem. Rashi explains, Kisera Yom, She'enu Mishtana Vishoso. So 9 o'clock always comes before 10 o'clock. So therefore, can't switch it around. Kach L'mafreya Lo. So therefore, it teaches us, Rav Yosef says that the halal has to be said in order. Okay, that's two reasons. Number three, Rav Avi Omar, he says, from another pasuk, he says, Yishem Hashem Evorach. It says the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed. Rashi says, Kava Yosu Yehe. Yehi means it has to be in the order. Kava Yosu Yehe Hilul Hashem Ubir Chaso Kisidro. Therefore, it has to be said in order. That's reason number three. Final reason number four, from Nachum or Yitzchak, or alternatively, Tamar, from Achav or Yaakov, whichever one of them it was, said, Omer Mihacha, from this pasuk. It says, Me'ata V'yadolam, from now and forever. In other words, it has to be in the same order. This is the way that it has to be. Okay, those are the four reasons that we know Hala. Now we go to Kriyashma. How do we know the Kriyashma? Within each paragraph, you have to say it in order. You can't say Pasuk Gimel before Pasuk Beis, the Tanya, based upon the following Braisa. Now, the Braisa states, Kriyashma Kichsovo, Divi Rebbe, that you have to say Kriyashma in exactly the way it's written in the Torah. In other words, in Hebrew, and not in a Laz, not in a foreign language, Loshon Amzor. Laz is an abbreviation of the three code for Loshon Amzor. Laz, Divi Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, B'chol Loshon. No, if you want, you could say Shema in English. You take the art scroll and you go and read Shema in English. Now, what's the rationale? Rabbi versus the Chachamim. And we'll have to explain what each one does with the other one's rayas. So, my time with the Rabbi, the reasoning for Rabbi that says it must be written in Hebrew, because on my Quran, we turn to Yitzayin and Bay, because the Pasuk tells us, Vayu, Hadvrim Ho'ele, Vayu is a Lashon of Havaya, Behava Yosin Yu. It has to be exactly this way. So therefore, just like in the Torah, it's written in Hebrew, so when you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma, according to many, there's a mitzvah Daraisa, one opinion in Tosus that says it's only the Rabbanim, but we hold that it's a mitzvah Daraisa. Some of you say it's two mitzvahs Daraisas, one in the morning, one at night, but the general accepted opinion is that Kriyashma as a mitzvah daraisa to read it in the morning and to read it at night. In order to fill this mitzvah daraisa, it has to be v'hoyu, Rebbe says, v'habi yosun, who has to be exactly the way it is written, which is in Hebrew, in the Chumash. Now, that's Rebbe's reasoning. Nu Rabbanan, they say it can be written in any language. What's their reasoning? Because it says, Shema Yisrael, Amakra, Shema, which implies b'chol loshon tashumet. You have to hear the Shema, which implies you can hear it in every language. Now, each of them obviously has to explain what they do with the other one's drasha. No, the Rebbe, also, he agrees, Nami Hoksiv Shema, what does he do with the word Shema, which the Rabbanan dash to say he can read it in any language? He clearly doesn't dashen it that way. So what does he dash in Shema? So Rebbe holds, Halu, he needs the word Shema, Maboy Lev, for the following drasha, Hashma li oznecha, you have to hear with your ears, Masha Tamotzi Mipicha. In other words, you can't think the Shema, you actually have to say the Shema and hear it from your mouth. If you don't hear it, Rebbe says you're not Yotze. No, that's a very good drasha. What do the Chachamim do? So they don't hold from that. Rabbanan Sabre, Kimandi Omar, Hakori Yeshema, Velo Yishmeh Liyazun Yotza. They hold that as long as you pronounce the words, even though you didn't hear it, right? Person says it extremely softly, but he did say it. Everybody agrees you have to say it. You can't just scan it with your eyes or think it. You have to say it. But even the Rabbanan who say you have to say it, they say you don't necessarily have to hear it. So they don't hold this drasha that Rebbe has a Shema, and therefore the drasha for the Chachamim is available to teach us that Shema b'chol loshon sha'ata shomea. Okay, fine. So we know what Rebbe does with the Chachamim's drasha of Shema, and why the Chachamim don't hold that. Now, Rabbanan Nami, it says, what do they do with that? Rebbe said that means it has to be in Hebrew. So they obviously don't hold that. So how Miboyle, they say, the Chachamim say the words, shlo yikra l'mafreya. That means this din, that you're not allowed to read the Shema out of order. You can't read Pasuk Gimel before you read Pasuk Beis. So the Torah says, no, this is a very good rush. What does Rebbe do with this? How does Rebbe learn this din? Rebbe also holds in this din. Rebbe, shlo yikra l'mafreya, minole. How does Rebbe know that you're not allowed to read it out of order? He needs the words vayu advarim to tell me it must be in Hebrew. So he learns vayu hadivarim. It says an extra hey. So he darshins mi divarim. It didn't say vayu divarim eli. It says vayu hadivarim. So mi divarim, instead of saying mi divarim, it says hadivarim. It doesn't say the word divarim. It says hadivarim. That's how Rebbe knows that you have to also say it in the right order. The extra hey is how Rebbe darshins this din, which the Chachamim, who had the word free, vahayu, they darshin that it means in the right order. No, the Rabbanan, what do they do with the extra hay? They don't hold the extra hay. They say that's the way it should be written. Devarim, hadvarim, they don't make such a drasha, lo mashmalu. So therefore, that's why each side is okay. Now, the Gemara says, we can learn out, based upon their drashas, what each of them holds about Kol HaTorah Kula. What about the rest of the Torah? So, Rabbi holds that you must say Shema in Hebrew. The implication is, only Shema you must say in Hebrew. Lemuksava Rabbi, that Kol HaTorah Kula, v'chol lo shenemra. The rest of the Torah you can read in any language, because otherwise, if the rest of the Torah also have to be in Hebrew, then why would you need psukim to tell me that Shema has to be read in Hebrew? This is if he held that this din is, the rest of the Torah also has to be read in Hebrew, then he wouldn't need to tell me specifically Shema has to be read in Hebrew. So we learn that from the fact that Rebbe holds that Shema has to be read in Hebrew, that implies that the rest of the Torah doesn't have to be in Hebrew. Mark says, not necessarily so. We could argue, no, it's the Rech. Over here, you have to tell me that Shema has to be written in Hebrew, even though also the rest of the Torah has to be written in Hebrew. So why do you need to tell me that Badafka Shema has to be in Hebrew? So the answer is as follows. Because I might have thought, since you have the drasha of Shema, which the Chachamim had, b'chol loshon sha'ata shomeya, so could I t'chaminoch that Shema kirabanim b'chol loshon sha'ata shomeya would be fine. Therefore, kosev rechmanim v'ayu, you need specifically to tell me here that that doesn't apply. But every place else also, you must read it in Hebrew. So Rebbe is fine. Now we do the exact same thing with the Chacham Shita. Let us say that the Chacham Shita is, because here they say that Shema can be said in any language. The implication is, kol haTorah b'loshon haKodesh nemra, that the rest of the Torah has to be read in Hebrew. Because the Yisrael Kedai thought that the rest of the Torah could be read, b'chol loshon, so Namra, it could be read in any language that you want, so then Lama Limitha Shema, then the same thing would apply to Shema. Why do we need special Darshan by Shema? So again, the same answer that we gave to Rebbe, we flip around and give to the Chacham here, Itzrich, you need to tell me Shema can be said in any loshon, even though the rest of the Torah can also be said in any loshon. Because if you didn't have that, so Kedai Techabina, v'ayu you could Rebbe. Therefore, Kosa Rachmona Shema. Because if you didn't have this specific drush over here by Shema, I would have said that this is the exception to the rule. Like Rebbe holds that Shema has to be read in Hebrew. Therefore, it has to tell me Shema could be read in any language, even though the rest of the Torah can also be read in any language. Okay, that little sugya is now done. Now the Gemara says, go to Shemona Esrei, Tefillah Minolon. We learned Hallel, we learned Shema. How do we know that the Tefillah also has to be, Shemona Esrei has to be read in the exact order that the brachas were mesukah, that they were set up. Now this is a famous brisa of the Tanya, Shimon HaPakuli, his Shemona Brachos, Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, Al HaSeder B'Yavna. Shimon HaPakuli, Rashi explains that the word HaPakuli is Yeshomim. He doesn't tell us what another opinion is, but he says one opinion is Shemistaker B'Tzemer Geffen Shenikra Pakula. He was a person who dealt with cotton. He sold cotton, and that's where he made his living. That's why he was known as Shimon HaPakuli. The Tanoim and the Amarim, in general, they worked for a living. They didn't spend their time learning. It was only later on in the times of the Tashbase that we had to say, originally, you're supposed to learn Torah and make a living. But unfortunately, the difficulties involved in learning Torah over the years, Niskatnu Adoras, so there have to be people that spend all of their time learning Torah. Otherwise, Torah Matei Allah. What's going to happen to the Torah? So therefore, you are allowed to go and earn money by being a rabbi, earn money by being a rabbi, because we need people to go and immerse themselves in learning Torah. In any event, this great Tana, Shimon HaPakuli, so he arranged the Shemona Esrei, really it's 19 brachos, we always said the Malshina was added on afterwards, and we still call it the Shemona Esrei, but it's really 19 brachos. He arranged them, the order that they are, in front of Rabban Gamliel, Ala Seder B'Yavna, in the Beis Medrash in Yavna. And Amar Yochanan, Yochanan said, others say it was learned in a brisa. It was actually much earlier. Meya the Esrim Zekanim, the 120 Zekanim of the Anshei Knesset Zegdola, which included Ubahem, Kama Neviim. There were amongst them Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and others that were Neviim. They were the ones that were Masaki in Tiknu Shmon Esrei Brachos HaLaseder. They were the ones that arranged 18/19 Brachos HaShmon Esrei in the correct order. Word is going to eventually come, maybe in the beginning of tomorrow's year. I don't think we'll get to it today. And it's going to say, what did Shimon HaMakuli do? So, ultimately, those reasons for why the Shmoneh Esrei was arranged in the order that it was. They knew the order, but they didn't know the reasons behind it. So therefore, Shimon HaPakuli came back and reminded us or relearned what the reasons were that the Anshei Knesset Zegdola had set up the Shmoneh Esrei in the order that it was. Now, we're going to actually go through 18/19 brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei and show why Chazal put them exactly in the order that they did. The very deep meaning here, we're learning it very superficially, but still very interesting. Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, how do we know that the first bracha is Mogein Avraham, what's called the bracha of Avos, Minayin Shomin Avos, as the first bracha, so this is based upon the in Tehillim, which it says, Shemar, Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, you should go and praise Hashem, you are the ones that are sons of the Elim, the Elim are the Avos, Adam Yitzhak Yaakov. So therefore, they come first, because afterwards, Minayin Shomin Gevuros, how do we know that the bracha of Mechayim Mason, the bracha called the Gevura, the bracha of Geshamim and Tchias Emesim, that's the bracha of Gevura. How do we know that that comes next? Because the next in the Kabbalah of Tehillim, after it says Havul Hashem Ne'elim, it says Shnemar Havul Hashem Kavod Oz. You bring Oz. Oz is Gevura. That's the second bracha. And then the next bracha, which is Ata Kadosh, Kela Kadosh, Melech Kadosh, Minayin Shomim Kedushos. How do we know that that's the next bracha? Because you continue in that kapitel Shnemar. After it says Havul Hashem Kavod Oz, it says Havul Hashem Kivod Shemo, Yishtachvul Hashem Hadras Kodesh. So therefore, that teaches over here with Kedusha, Hadras Kodesh, those are the first three brachos. The first three brachos of Shmoneh Esrei are always present, they're inviolate, and there are halachos that these three are considered a group. If you want to mess them up, you have to go back to the beginning. If you forgot to say Mashiv Aruch, Mer Goshem, in the days that you're supposed to, you have to go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. That's assuming, of course, that you don't say Mor Atal. That would be, you wouldn't have to go back, but if you made a mistake in Melech HaKadosh, when you're supposed to say Melech HaKadosh, you said HaKel HaKadosh, you have to go back to the beginning, Shmoneh Esrei, you can't go just back to the beginning of the Bracha. These three are a unit, as based upon, they're all being set together in this capital of Tillim. Now we continue further. The next bracha, Ata Chonein Liodim Das, the bracha of Chonein Ados Bina, how do we know that that comes as a fourth bracha, right after Kedusha, Kela Kadosh? Shenemar, this is based upon the pasuk where it says, first, V'ikdishu es Kedosh Yaakov, first you'll sanctify the God of Yaakov, that's okay, Yisrael, the God of Yisrael, Yaritzu, you should go and praise him, you shall sanctify him. So therefore, that's the Kedusha, that's the third bracha, and then Usamich Lev Yadu Soe Ruach Bina, and then those people that made mistakes, they'll learn, and they'll have Bina, and they'll do it correctly. So you see that Bina comes right after this concept of Kedusha Hashem. That's why it's the fourth bracha. No, the next bracha after that, Uma Rola Machuva Chabina. How come the bracha of Tshuva Hashivena Vino Sarasecha comes right after Bina? So the Gemara says, based upon the pasuk, Dersiv Ulavavo Yovin. First you have Bina, and then Vishav Virafalo, and then you have Tshuva and Refuah. Gemara says, if that's true, Ihachi Salema Refuah Basra the Tshuva. So then the next bracha after Tshuva should be Refuahinu, but it's not. First we have Slach Lanu. So Gemara says, no, that's not right. Lo Solka Daitach. We need to have Slach Lanu in between because Dersiv V'yashov al Hashem, you'll return to Hashem, that's Tshuva, V'rachameyu, and Hashem will have mercy on us, V'alokeinu kiyar b'lisloach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on us because we have been asking Hashem for forgiveness. So the two are connected, the Tshuva and the Slicha have to go together. So Gemara says, well, you had another pasuk that said Vishav Rafala, and here you have a pasuk that says that Tshuva and Slicha go together. Why did you pick the pasuk that says Tshuva followed by Slicha? Why not pick the pasuk that says Tshuva followed by Refuah? My chaz is the Samcha Saha, Samocha Ha. Why did you pick one versus the other? Gemara says, no, because we have another pasuk that shows us that we were correct to have Tshuva, Slicha, and then Refuah. Ksiv Kroa Chirino, Kosev Kroa Chirino, Hasoleach L'chol Avonechi, and then HaRofei L'chol Tachluyoichi, Hago Mishachas Chayechi, and then Geula. So the order should be Slicha, Refuah, and then Geula. L'meimra, the Geula, or Refuah, Basa Slichi. That teaches us that only after the Slicha do we get the Geula and the Refuah. So then Gemara says, but what do you do with that pasuk? We still have that pasuk that said that after tshuva comes refuah. So even though we have these other psukim, how do you darshan that pasuk? So Gemara says, no, there are different types of refuah. There's refuah sanefesh, refuah saguf. So this is referring to refuah sanefesh. Ha'ulav refuah dechaluyim, it's not refuah saguf, el refuah deslichi. This is refuah sanefesh. And yes, that's with slicha. And only afterwards do we have refuah saguf. Okay, so now we're getting further in our order. Umaro lo mar gula b'shvia. So then why is gula the seventh bracha? Now, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, mitoch shasidin ligal b'shvia, because we're going to be nigal in a shmita year. Seven over here means in the seventh year, meaning in a shmita year. As Rashi explains, the shavua sheben David ba, bo chaluk mishar shonim. The seven-year cycle when David HaMelech's descendant, Moshiach ben David, is going to come, when the Ben David comes, it's going to be 7 years. Kedemin and Perchelik, the Moran Sanhedrin tells us, the Shana Rishona Rav, the first year will be a famine. Below Rav, and it tells us more about the first year and the second year. And then it says, Bashvias Milchamos, the seventh year will have tremendous Milchama. And then Matzei Shvias, that's when Moshiach's going to come. So how can you tell me over here, Lefikoch Kivua Bashvias, Vamar Mar Bishishis Kolos? In the sixth year, there will be tremendous Kolos. And this refers to the blowing of the shofar, according to some, that Moshiach is going to be arriving. And then in the seventh year, there will be the Muhammad's Gog and Bago, Bashvias Muhammad's. And only in the eighth year, Matzei Shvias, Ben David Ba. So why is it Bedavka in the seventh bracha that you have Geula? It really should be in the eighth bracha. So Moshiach says, no. Milchama, that Milchama that we're having in the seventh year, that's Aschalta de Geula here. That's the start of the Geula, and therefore it's very appropriate to have the Geula bracha, Goel Yisrael, as the seventh bracha. Nu, the eighth bracha, Maro Lomar Refuah Bishminis, so why is Refuenu then the eighth bracha? So that's easy. Amar Rabbi Acha, Mitoshinitna Mila Bishminis, Bris Mila is given on the eighth day, which needs a refuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after a person gets a bris milah, shetzricha refuah, lefikach, therefore, kivua b'shminis. That's why B'davka Chazal, the Anshei Knesset Gadol, set it up as the eighth bracha. Now, ninth bracha, maro lamar b'chasah shonim, but she is. Why do we say, barei choleinu, after the bracha of rofei chole amo Yisrael? So Amar Alexandri, Alexandri tells us, kineged mafkiye sharm. This bracha of barei choleinu, to have Parnasa and all sorts of good in terms of the financial matters, that's to Bedavka go against those people that go and try to impact all the rest of the world improperly and by setting prices on the market. The Chsiv, Shivar Zroa Russia, break the Zroa, the arm of the Russia, break their Zroa. In other words, those people that are trying to fix the prices and set things up and cause all sorts of inflation and cause all sorts of market changes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy them and not let them do this. And why in the ninth bracha, V'David ki amra, when David said this, this dechsiv, Shvar Zroa Rasha, it was in the ninth kapitel of Tilim. And therefore, V'David ki amra, B'tshiyas amra, so therefore the Anshei Knesset Gadol set this up to parallel that in the ninth bracha. Now, only problem is, if you look in our Tehillim that we have today, this capital is not found in the ninth capital of Tehillim, it's found in the tenth capital of Tehillim. It's in capital Yod, Pasuk, Tez, Vav. So it seems to be a little bit off. So the two answers that are given, you can see discussion of this on the daf over here and on the Masoras HaShas, as to whether the first two kapitlach of Tehillim that we have are two separate kapitlach. Many count them as one. So if one and two are really one, so then number 10 is really number 9. Everything gets moved up one. Alternatively, others say that the ninth and tenth kapitlach are really one kapitl, so it's really what we call number 10 really is number 9 as well. Okay. That's the nine first brachos. Now we go to the tenth bracha. Umaro lomar kibbutz golios kabeis nitchei amo Yisrael after the brecha leinu. Why does that bracha come liachar brechas hashonim? So the Gemara says that's also based on psukim. Dechsev atem horei Yisrael, you the mountains of Yisrael, an pichem titenu, you give out your anofim, your branches, uper yichem and your fruits, tisu lami Yisrael, you bring them to klai Yisrael. Ki keravu lovo, because you're coming back to me, you're doing tshuva. So therefore, we juxtapose these two psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather in all the exiles at this point in time, after their fruits give forth their fruit. In other words, after you have the good parnasa, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring in the kabetz golios. Okay, kibbutz golios. V'kimish neskapsu golios. Now, why is the next bracha? Number 11, once you have kibbutz kolios, nasa din barushan, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring judgment on those. Shenemar, v'yoshiv yodio laich, v'yetzol kabar sigoich. I will go and give justice, I'll put my hand down on you, and I will burn away all the impurities that you have. And therefore, usiv, v'yoshiv ha-shoftayich kibarishana, and I will return the shoftim to back the way it was. That's why the bracha of hashiv ha-shoftenu comes next. Now, the next bracha, v'kivim shenasa din min ha-rishayim, since we're taking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the rishayim, so kalu ha-poshim, so all the people that were sinners are going to stop. V'chol el zeidim imam, and included in this is, l'mal shinim, the zeidim, those people that are doing mazid against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk says, "Shenema v'shevre poshim v'chatoim yachdav yichlu." They'll be all wiped out. All those sinners, all those people that are going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be wiped out. And therefore, that's why this is the next bracha by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The next one is for the tzaddikim. V'kivin shekol v'poshim, after all the sinners are gone, Misro Memes Karen Tzadikim. Now we can focus and concentrate on the greatness of the Tzadikim. Dechsev, but call Karni Bishoim, Agadeah, cut down the horns of these wicked people. Terah Mabna Karno Tzadik. And now we're just left looking at the greatness of the Tzadikim. And that's why, Vakolo Geriat Tzadik Imat Tzadikim. And the righteous Gentiles, many suggest that when it says these Geriat Tzadik, it's referring to the sailors that were on the boat with Yonah. That's an example of the Geri Tzedek, that they saw the Yad Hashem, and they became righteous converts. They saw what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Yonah, and that he runs the world, and they became Geri Tzedek. So they're included in the Tzadikim. The Gerim that are Tzadikim, they'll be included with our Tzadikim. They're all one and the same. Shenema, Mipnei Seva Tokom Vodarte Pnei Zokim. And right next to that it says, Vesomach Lei V'chiyogur. Now, which should be, instead of itchem, should be itcha. That's the right pasuk, v'yogur itcha ger. So therefore, that's why that next bracha, l'mal shinim, followed by l'tzadikim. Okay, now, where are the tzadikim going to find this tremendous glory for them? The hecha misromem is karen. Where will we find the tzadikim's keren will be, their horn will be raised up in glory? So b'yushalayim. Oh, that's why we have yushalayim yucha right after that. Shenema, shalu shlom yushalayim. Yishloyu ohavoyich. Those that love you, Yushalayim, they will sit in Yushalayim in peace and in comfort. Okay. Then, after we have Yushalayim, so then we'll bring back Malchus Beis David. Became Shnichnas Shemnivnes Yushalayim, Bo David. Once Yushalayim is rebuilt, now we can have at Semach David, Tatzmiach. Then David and Malchus can come back, Shenema, and we turn to Yechesam and Aleph. Achar Yoshu b'nei Yisrael, uvikshu es Hashem alokeichem. The Eis David Malchum. So then we seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Malchus David will return. Then the Kivin Shabbat David, but also Tefillah. After David comes, now we can really daven properly. And that's why I have the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. Shenema, Babi Yosef Mahakuchi, when you come to my mountain, in other words, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Bismachtim, the Beis Tefillah, see, and you'll rejoice in my Beis HaMikdash, in my house of Tefillah. So now we can probably have Tefillah, Shomea Tefillah. Then once we have tefillah, v'chem shabos tefillah, and we're in the base of midrash, bos avod, and now we can start redoing the korbanos. Shenemar aloseim zivchayem l'ratzon al mizbechi. Now you'll be able to bring the olos and all the other korbanos that will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the mizbeach. Only after we've had all of this, now we can go into ritzei. V'chivon shabos avod. Once we have the avoda, ritzei bos atod. Then we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar zoveach toda. You bring korbanos, ah yichabdoni, and you'll then offer thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Umaro Loma Birchas Kohanim Acharado. Why was Birchas Kohanim inserted in the bracha after Hatov Shulchan Chon Eliotos? Then we say Elokeinu Kavaseinu and Birchas Kohanim. So they say it. By Yisrael Aaron is Yodav. It says that Aaron raised his hands Elohom to the people. Vayvarachem. He gave them the bracha. That's the Birchas Kohuna, and he did this. Vayyered Measos Hachatis. After he did the Chatis, all of Yeshalom. After he did the Karbanos, then you go blessed. So therefore you. Are appropriately saying the Birchas Kohanim only after the Avoda. New Gemara says, Ema called him Avoda, maybe means before the Avoda. Gemara says, no, don't think that for a second. Also, Kedaitach, because look at the Pasuk, the Ksiv, Vayerid Me Asos Hachatos Vigomer. It doesn't say, Miksiv Lasos, to do, it says, from doing, Me Asos, Ksiv, and therefore, that's what it means. Okay. Finally, Lemra Achar Avoda. Why don't we say it right after the Avoda? Why do we say the Bracha of Hodoy in between? So again, the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't be right. Lo Sokotaita, don't think that, because it says, Dirsiv. Pasuk says, Zoveyach, you have to go and bring the Karban, do the Avoda, and only afterwards, Toda. Now the Gemara says, My Chaz is the Sam Chasahai. Again, we have two different Sukkim seeming to say that the Avoda should come first. Why do we have the Hodor coming first? We have two different psukim. My chaz is the Samach Zahai, Samach Ahai. Again, we have two different psukim seeming to steer us in different directions. So Gemara says, no, Mistavra, Avoda, Hodor, they're one and the same, Chod de Milsi, and therefore that's the right place to put it. Finally, Sim Shalom, the last bracha. Umar Olamar, Sim Shalom, Acha Birchas Kohanim. Why was Sim Shalom placed after Birchas Kohanim? So that we conclude this beautiful discussion. When you go and do the Birchas Kohanim and you place HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so to say, upon Klai Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vani Avarachem will bless us, then Bracha da Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom. The very last Mishnah, the Mishnah Yomis, which the Mishnah Yomis is finishing, is that the best bracha that a person can have is Shalom. That's the ultimate bracha. If a person doesn't have peace, so then he really has nothing else. No matter how much money he has, no matter how much other properties he has, gashmis he has, if you don't have shalom in your life, if a person doesn't have peace, he really is not happy. And therefore, the greatest bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us is shalom. And that's why it concludes the Shemoneh Esrei. Bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom, the best bracha that we could get, sim shalom uvracha. So shalom and bracha, that is the bracha shenemar, Hashem yevarech es amo, Bashalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. The greatest blessing of all is the blessing of peace. That concludes the order that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol set up. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, I said, but we get to it tomorrow, at the beginning of the year, we'll have to explain why Shimon HaPakuli, who started off this whole discussion, had to say this over in front of Rabbi Gamliel, when in fact, previously to this, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol were the ones that set this up. What do we gain by saying that Shimon HaPakuli had set this up as well? Mitzvah Hashem, something to look forward to tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's year.